Welcome to Two Guys and a Question. Between them, Alan Creedy and Danny Jefferson have almost 100 years hands-on experience with funerals, funeral directors, finance, and real-life situations. Every Tuesday and Thursday, they field questions for more than 1,200 subscribers, hoping to stimulate your thinking and resolve your challenges.
This is Alan Creedy.
This is Danny Jefferson.
And we're two guys with a question.
Well, Alan, the question that I got the other day was from someone that was asking about selling their funeral home.
Okay.
How do you approach people when they want to sell their funeral home, or you have heard about it, or what do you do?
In other words, how do I find clients?
Yes.
Well, Danny, that's a great question, because really what I've done is what I think they should be doing to attract prospective clients for their funeral home. And that is, it's very simple. I do everything I can to produce top-of-mind awareness and relevancy. So I came to the conclusion a long time ago that there's a lot of people out there who approach this topic from, a high level corporate style.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, at Wall Street. I use that as a symbol of people who wear three-piece suits and suspenders, and I'm nothing against that. I'm just saying that
bad fashion faux pas, too.
Yeah, well, I know, but they don't really relate to the typical small business owner. I don't care if they're a funeral director or not. They can be a little bit arrogant. Well, maybe I have some arrogancy about me, but I like these people. I like funeral service. I made a deliberate choice to stay in it. And I have a skill set and gift for a couple of things. One is being able to understand the machinations, if you will, of their particular business, discovering issues and helping them mediate those issues so they can prepare to sell. I have exposure to the profession in such a way that I know what going prices are, or I'm pretty close to in touch with that. I have a in the old days before computers, we used to call it a big Rolodex. So I have a lot of people that I know that I can contact to help them sell. But my strategy is specifically targeted at encouraging people to think of me as warm, approachable, and competent.
So what are the conglomerates or the larger funeral corporations doing in their business development? What do they do?
To find prospects?
Sure.
Well, sometimes they engage people who go out and knock on doors. But established players, pretty much everybody knows who they are and what they're looking for. In the cowboy days of the 90s, they really didn't have a focused strategy. They do now. In fact, people like SCI and some of the larger corporate players, they actually have a mile radius of major corporate highways that they try to stay within. They have target firms that they go after, and so they're very deliberate about it.
So if I was a funeral home owner, what should I be listening to when somebody pitches me?
I think that's a challenging question, because quite honestly, anybody in that position is going to be on their best behavior. They know, they do this all the time, they know within a parameter what most people are going to be concerned about and want to hear. So you have to enter into all those conversations with a grain of salt, a degree of skepticism. They may actually be very excited about you, but at the end of the day, and I actually have published a little 8-page booklet on this about the emotional side of selling, at the end of the day, they know that it will be their business. And while they will do what they can to accommodate your nuances, it will still be their business, and they will have to make business decisions. So there is a definite honeymoon period that will occur. But sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes there's going to be a parting of the ways.
Well, if you were on the other foot, if mm-hmm. you were a funeral home owner,
mm-hmm.
and I can say it from experience, when I met you, you assisted me in the sale of my business.
Yeah.
And when I did that, I remember the major factor in the reason I chose you was you.
And what I said, Danny, is that if I were a funeral director trying to build call volume, I would do pretty much what I saw you do in Kernersville, which was to develop relationships in the community. And I wouldn't be inauthentic, I can tell you that. But I would find ways to relate to the people so that when that time came, they would look out at the array of people that like me who could help them and say, you know, pretty much everybody can get me the same price, but I'm more comfortable working with this guy than somebody else. And quite frankly, I'm well aware that there are people out there that feel more comfortable working with other, what you might consider my competitors. I'm fine with that because I have enough clients that keeps me busy. But also, I take great pride, if I can have pride, in that the majority of people I work with in that level become close friends. We continue to stay in contact years at your example, but you live close by. But there are many others that I continue to stay in contact with.
The one word that I remember that I used to relate or used to describe you was trust.
I like that. Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
I trusted you. I never felt any need to check behind you.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw any red flags that said, maybe I should check with somebody else. Trust is a big factor, but it goes back to what you just said about funerals and working in your community. People in your community will trust you. And then on that day when that nurse comes into the emergency room to ask, what funeral home do you want us to call for your loved one? They're going to call you because they trust you.
Well, I really appreciate you saying that, and I do get that feedback, and I'm proud of that feedback. But the reality is there are other people out there that are trustworthy. Your answer to your question, which I want to push back on to the funeral director, is you need to consciously, and if that's a differentiation, I guess it has to be, consciously portray somebody you can trust. And today, too often, and I don't really care if you're a major metropolitan situation. Our profession isn't doing that. They're portraying a remote, somewhat reserved, maybe very reserved, and standoffish demeanor, which I think is counterproductive. And they don't intend to do that, but their definition of what it looks like to be a professional gets in their way.
One of the things I want to make a point before we close this podcast is this. When we are relating our funeral business and the way we created our business to the way you do your business is with the trust and the same things, and you have competitors and so forth. When I was in business, I never disparaged my competitor.
Mm-hmm.
I always told anybody that would listen, this town, Kernersville, is lucky to have two really good funeral homes.
Right.
I just hope that you trust me enough when that day comes. I'll take care of your loved one like it would be mine. But in your case, we were brothers. We still are. But it came through in a way that related to me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever be fearful as a funeral home owner when someone calls your competitor to have the service of their loved one.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many variables that are going to come into that. Very, very prominent pastor in our town died, and they called my competitor.
Right.
We had buried his wife. We had a good rapport with his daughter. I'm thinking, what in the world could I possibly have done wrong? I fretted over that.
Oh, I had that experience as well.
For 3 months until I saw that daughter coming out of the bank in my town. And she saw me. She came up. She started crying. She hugged my neck. I said, I've been praying for you and your loss. She said to me, she looked up. She said, I wanted to use your firm so bad. But my dad, being who he was, the ultimate Christian minister, said, you know, we used your place, Pierce Jefferson, when mom died. And because I just want to be fair, let's use the other place for me. That was the only reason she gave, and I was just lifted that she gave me an answer.
And that reasoning, by the way, is not uncommon. The point here is you want to manage what people think of you. And right now we're losing ground because we're playing to a market that has not existed for probably 15 years.
Right, and we've discussed that. And we had a question come in about that, so be sure and tune in. But, Alan, Thank you for answering the question today. Let's look at our next podcast. You can do it, and we can help.
Remember to send your questions by clicking the link at www.twoguysandaquestion.com. New questions are answered every Tuesday and Thursday at 4:22 p.m. Eastern Time.